thing I asked him to say.
That was the 20 quid.
Oh, the 20 quid. Oh, wow. That's great. I'm just going to ask, is there any chance we might have a flip chart with a pen? Sorry, I should. Oh, thank you. Brilliant. Okay, is that all right? Sound, Mr. Peter, sound. Okay, good. So I'm Adrian, and who was here last November, I think, and you recognise this hand, me. Okay, so some of you not. So, Corin, you come. So this is the better looking one of the team.
That's
the
£20.
That's the £20. Yes. So so we're from Kettering, Northamptonshire, and came up today. But just over the, I think it was about 18 months ago, met with Simon and the elders halfway, I think, in Cambridge, and just struck up a great relationship and just have built friendship. And so I think best of all, we're here out of friendship with you here in Aylsham or Sheringham or North Walsham, wherever you've come from. We're here out of friendship, and I think that's a really important base, because as you read anything in the New Testament, it was out of relationship. So as you know, Paul, actually, he said, I'm not going to go one place because my best friend Titus can't be there, and if he can't be there, I'm not going there. You think, wow, this is a Paul with a vision for the whole of the known world. And he says, actually, I'm not going to go that place because my best friend's not there. And so it's lovely relationship. It's lovely I get to work with my first wife. And so my only wife. And so we just want that we want to bless you, and please be praying for us. I'd like us just to lift our hands to Jesus. And I want you to imagine that he walks into the room, and on his hands he's got a tray, and on the tray is a large jug, and inside the jug is just the most refreshing, delightful living water. And I want you just to ask Jesus, could I have a drink? And maybe you've already prayed that this evening, maybe this week, maybe it's not something you've asked. Would you ask him, Jesus, I'm thirsty? What I'd like you to do is just speak that out. Not for me to hear, but just speak out, Jesus, I'm thirsty. Jesus, I'm thirsty. Jesus, will you give me thirst for your living water? Jesus, I thank you that as you come, I can ask you, because you have the water. I need the water. Jesus, give me a drink. And maybe you think, okay, I need a drink of peace right now. Jesus, actually, I need a drink of joy. I need a drink of power and strength. Jesus, I need a drink of your grace. Just ask him, Jesus, I need your provision, Jesus, your water. Jesus, you have the living water. I need the living water. Jesus, let's be thirsty for him. And Lord Jesus, we say, Lord, it's great. We want to learn about prophecy and hearing you. But Lord, more than that, we want to know your love and your voice to us as your children. But whether we ever stand at the front of a meeting, Lord, it's not about that, Lord. We want to engage with you because you're our Saviour, our friend, our lover, our hero, our King. Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Please just keep hungry and thirsty. And if that means you sit there and shut your eyes, that's fine. Be drawing for him. You've got perhaps a time and you're away from all the other things that distract. If you can draw near to him through what I'm saying or despite what I'm saying, that's fine. So so who would you say, actually, I've I've heard God's voice. I've heard God speaking to me, maybe audibly. Please pray for me if that's the case. But I've heard God's voice speaking to me. Maybe it was through, it could be all sorts of different ways. I've known God speaking to me just in my quiet time, just as I prayed, as I've been in the service. Yeah, I've heard God. I've heard from God. Who would that be really? But who thinks, actually, I've never heard from God? Anybody? Got to be quite brave. Actually, do you know, if you're a Christian, if you belong to Jesus, you heard his voice. That's how you became a follower. For Simon Peter and the others, a fisherman, Jesus says, follow me. You heard that follow. It wasn't just that I listed 10 things about Jesus and decided he was worth following. You may have wrestled with thought, but actually you're his because you heard his voice. So if you heard his voice then, before you were a Christian, do you know that? You heard his voice before you were a Christian because he loved you before. Yeah, you're just thinking about, okay, yeah. Jesus said, God says to Jeremiah, actually, I knew you before the world was formed. And I think, Lord, that messes with my mind. Jesus knew you before you knew him. And there was a time then he called you. And he loved you and called you. And you heard his voice before you were right with him. Because that's how you got right. Yes? Isn't it amazing? When you think of Genesis, going back to the garden. And so there's Adam and Eve in perfect relationship. And then they fall and this relationship's broken. You know, even in sin, while they're hiding away, they still can hear the Father when he says, where are you, Adam? So even in sin, Adam and Eve can hear God. Is that good? So your friends who aren't in the church, who don't know, they can still hear God. The Bible's full of different times where various kings have dreams and God speaks to them. They're not seeking God at all. And Daniel comes and explains. God can speak to who he likes and he can speak to us. So I want you to be encouraged. You can hear from God. And the point of tonight is just to take some more steps and grow and learn from that. So maybe you've been somewhere. If you've heard a message, sometimes you've been in a prayer meeting or a church meeting and someone's brought something that's just encouraged you. Have you had that? Or maybe you've brought the thing. And they say, wow, that was so timely. That was so helpful. Have you had that? Where it's maybe been a verse, maybe someone's emailed, phoned or texted or just contacted you and you found it so, so pertinent to the moment. That's God's voice. That's prophecy. And it brings encouragement. It brings strength. And you think, yeah, thank you, God. You were with us. I knew you were with us or with me, but now I know. That's what prophecy does. It like brings an immediacy. Yeah, thank you, God. Or maybe in a meeting. In the church meeting, we're praying about something particular, and into that comes a prophetic word that is just so timely, and it stirs us and gives us strength. It's so good. Prophecy is such a precious gift. And Corinne and I went from our town, Bishop Stortford, where we were before, to Kettering, on the basis that God had spoken. And it was an internal thing initially. We were planning on moving and God was silent and it would have been really helpful to have some prophecy while we were making the decision. But as soon as we made the decision, then the very next day, some people came out of the blue in church and said, oh, I've just got this picture and about you moving. Prophecy, sometimes it encourages us, but other times it strengthens what we're already doing. And I think that's really helpful. I think often prophecy like comes on the back of a decision. And I think that's probably a good thing. We don't need our decisions made by other people prophesying into us necessarily all the time. But actually, it's like confirms, yeah, that's what God's saying to me. And that's what God was saying to us. So we went to Kettering. And another time, you know, I did a meeting a bit like this. And there was a lady that I just felt drawn to this lady. I just felt drawn to this person and with compassion. And it just drew out of me and I just stood with her and began to speak into her. She was wearing grey and just began to speak into her of colour and of life and of going from black and white TV to colour TV, going into a sense of vibrancy. And as I did that, she began to weep, and her husband had died, and she was been in mourning for some time, and it just felt like a colour came on. And then this time last year, I met her in another meeting, and she sang out. And I thought, who's that lady? And I didn't recognise her. She said that I was that lady who was in grey and black and white, and you spoke colour, and that set me free. I thought, yeah, I loved my husband, but now this is me, and bless her. Prophecy, it can direct a movie, it can encourage. For her, it like opened a door into a new season in her life. I think, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much that you speak. So, what would be really, I've got a flip chart and pens, so that we can cover. Would there be something that you would like me to make sure I mention or cover? You know, I've got a niggling question about prophecy. If you haven't, I've got plenty to say. But if there was something, actually, yeah, it'd be really helpful. Adrian, could you make sure you mentioned? So, would there be something you would want to cover? Prophecy can
endorse hope.
Yeah. So I'm from Northamptonshire. So ask the question in another way. I want to understand what I think you're asking.
Do you think encouragement could come for a long-held hope through prophecy?
Okay, yes. Yes, so... Yes, so can prophecy sometimes be talking about something that's a long way ahead? Yes. Daniel praying, and it's 70 years after Jeremiah's prophecy, and he's saying, God, an answer. So that was 70 years. Sometimes can it encourage us while we're waiting? Yes, and can speak, and God says, I've not forgotten. And we've had words like that, and maybe yourself, you live, yeah, God's not forgotten, and it comes afresh. Sometimes it does seem slow, and God, you're not answering. But prophecy can come bring us encouragement. So I guess that would be good to... Is there anything else you want me to...
Could you cover the point about timing being the perfect word in terms of... speaking personally, sometimes I find it difficult to know whether if I don't bring something immediately, I'm missing the moment and there's somebody there who needs to hear it now.
Yes.
But
yes, okay. Yep. Good question. Anything else?
Maybe something about tips for listening to the flow of God saying collectively well.
Sort of tuning in. Okay, so I get we've all heard when we talk about the word prophecy. I wonder what we think. That would be an interesting thing if we had time to ask. So if we're using the word prophecy, I suspect we think of a church meeting, be it a life group, small group, house group, and a Sunday meeting. What do you think of that? And maybe the worship goes quiet and somebody comes and there's a hush and they lift the microphone to them. And in my younger day, people would go, "Thus says the Lord." And okay, I'm waiting for God to speak. "Thus says the Lord." And often they would then begin to speak into maybe even authorized version, or "Thus saith the Lord." And you think, whoa, you know, it's something. And often they would have a voice normal, and then because it's "Thus saith the Lord," "Thus saith," they think, "Oh, God's in the house." And so often, so we might think prophecy was like something that was, maybe you don't, you're too young to have those sorts of memories. But it was like a bit serious and a bit quirky, and it was like God speaking. But it just sounded like Brian or whoever it was, or Sheila, that would say it. And so prophecy is really important to just unpack what we mean. And if I can say right at the start, in hearing God and prophecy, I think, bless you for coming out this evening, but if all I'm doing is equipping you to bring a two-minute prophecy in a two-hour meeting every couple of weeks, I think God wants to say more. And I think, actually, I'm not really equipping you for life. So we can, you think, you're at church, in church meetings, say 2 hours, and because you're good, a life group, a small group, one, that's 4 hours out of your week. If the only time we're tuning in, and what does God want to say, is that 4 hours, what's God doing the rest of the other 164? He's like, and is that, actually, what if God wanted to give you a prophecy in your office? In your classroom, in your school, in your street, when you're chatting with coffee, you probably would put it differently. You might say to your boss, "Actually, I've been thinking about this issue we've got with that customer. I wonder if this could be a solution." Now, you know that actually you felt God give you a dream or a prophecy. Actually, there's a breakthrough. So you just put it in different language, but hey, suddenly you could like prophesy in the marketplace, literally. And you're chatting with someone, you could say, "Yeah, I just want, have you been having any headaches recently?" Or whatever it is. And away you go. Suddenly, prophecy is like much bigger. So let's see prophecy as God talking to you and I anytime. And he loves to do that. And he wants to bring his life into your situation and to other people. And also, prophecy doesn't have to be spoken. I don't know if you've ever read Ezekiel in the Old Testament. So nowadays you hold up one of these, don't you? Okay. Have you ever read Ezekiel? Oh, now I've pressed a button. There it is. I've lost my notes. That didn't happen either. So Ezekiel prophesies, but not always with words. He like has to lie on his side. Like, not for half an hour. I thought, I quite like that prophecy. Adrian, I want you to lie down for half an hour. Okay. Yes, Jesus. Actually, he's like, isn't it 18 months or something? He has to like cut a hole in his house. And imagine, "What are you doing, dear?" "Well, I'm just expressing what God's saying." "Yeah, but you've made a hole in the kitchen wall." I know some of you guys have made holes in the kitchen wall, and that wasn't God's talking. But so sometimes prophecy is enacted. So a church service a long time back in the worship, I noticed there was a big umbrella. I don't know where it came from, but a big umbrella in the church. And during the worship, I went and picked up a big sun parasol. So I went and picked it up and stood with it open over next to a couple, a husband and wife, and this big umbrella. I felt a bit of a lemon, but and that's what you were thinking. But actually, it was a prophecy of God's love and protection. And just the other... a couple of weeks ago, I was in somewhere else and did the same thing and just began to speak of God's protection over you, God's love over you, God's an everlasting Father. And they just began to weep, and it softened them, and they drew close together. And actually, it was less about what I said. It was more just the visual. So prophecy may be, I think, God's saying, but actually it could also be demonstrated. And ultimately, the ultimate way of God speaking to man was as Jesus died on the cross. It was his shout that I love you. And he spoke, so, and there were no words really, but it was a powerful action. So what, I guess let's define prophecy a bit more, and maybe we'll touch on this one here. So do you want to just turn to 1 Corinthians 14? You know, the Bible is not an A to Z of theology. Do you know that? So there isn't really here's a page 58 is prophecy page, you know, an A to Z, and page 59 would be prayer. No, prayer would come before prophecy, wouldn't it? Okay? So it doesn't work like that. The Bible's a book of God talking to people and through people and with people, and they make a mess out, and God always comes good in the end. So it's very difficult to find lots of teaching about prophecy, but it tends to be woven in different things. But thankfully, the guy Paul writes 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians 14 is about the closest we get to here's a page on prophecy. He's putting to the Corinthian church, who are just like, they're having just a blast in meetings, and they're drinking and they're getting drunk, and then they're prophesying, and then they're all prophesying at once, and then there's some people talking in different languages, and it's just like chaos. But rather than shut it down, Paul says, actually, it's been really good if we just get some order. Okay, so here's some order. And so 1 Corinthians 14, if you want to grow in prophecy, just spend a couple of weeks just reading each verse and chewing it over. The first thing he says in it is follow the way of love and eagerly desire. And I guess you've come out in a Norfolk rainy night, Friday night, because you eagerly desire. And something as soon as I was filled with the Spirit when I was 17, I just wanted to prophesy. I wanted to bring encouragement. And it wasn't something I thought about. I just thought, I want to prophesy. And I want to pray this evening that God gives you a hunger to prophesy. Because when we prophesy, and if we jump to verse 3, it talks about prophecy is for, and three things. So you just want to shout out, what are the three things that prophecy does? Okay, strengthen, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone got a different version? What's it say in? Okay, so it's about building up. So encouragement is putting in courage. Okay, do you need courage? I need courage. God, would you put some courage in me? So back in the Old Testament, they've started to rebuild the temple. But after a month, or just after a month of this, in Haggai, we might look a bit of this on Sunday, I think. So don't tell anyone. But they give up. But Haggai comes and says, don't give up. And he gives a prophecy. God says, I am with you. And they all gird up the loins and get on building. Think, wow, what a prophecy. Like, it puts in courage. I thought, oh, it's not so bad after all. Yeah, let's keep going. So prophecy puts in encouragement. It's always going to lift. If you've ever been encouraged, whether from God or from somebody else that's nice to you, like Simon, actually it lifts your head, doesn't it? When you encourage, it lifts your head rather than... When someone gives you, so prophecy will do the same. It will lift your head. It will lift our head away from ourselves, and it will lift up to Him. It will lift. God says, "I am with you." Oh, yeah, you're always with us. Lifts up our heads. So the lady that I encouraged, comforted in the sense of bringing God's with you, and it lifted her head and said, "Yeah, this is a new season." So prophecy encourages. The word comfort, in our culture, comfort means like TLC and sort of there, and actually biblical comfort isn't like that. When God comforts you, it's not that, there, oh, I'm really sorry for you. Okay, that's sympathy. Jesus didn't go around with sympathy. He had empathy and says, you're sick. I love you, I've got compassion, be healed. You think, well, Jesus, that wasn't like very understanding. He just said, get up. So when God comforts us, it's much more of a, remember who you are. There's the Bayeux Tapestry, as one of the pictures, there's the guy is comforting his soldiers. The text is, he's comforting the troops. The picture that's been sewn is a guy sticking a spear in someone's jacksy, saying, get on there, soldier, get on, get up. When God comforts, it's much more, remember who you are, I'm for you. That's when God's comforting, as opposed, I want God to feel sorry for me. Actually, no, that's not biblical comfort. And strengthening, it stirs us. Remember who you are. Remember who God's in with you. It enlarges us. So prophecy is going to enlarge someone. It's going to give them courage. It's going to give them hope. And it's going to give them love. Now, why do you think Paul says one who prophesies speaks to men for strengthening, encouragement and comfort? Why do you think those three? Because who else always speaks with strengthening, encouragement and comfort but God himself? That's the language of God. Or if we jump to the last verse, or the penultimate verse of chapter 13, these three remain, faith, hope and love. Faith, hope and love is the currency, the language of God. When God speaks to you and I, it's always faith or hope or love or two or three. When we prophesy, it's strength, encouragement, comfort. It's the same, it's the currency, God's language. So you think, well, doesn't God go around judging? Actually, Jesus says, I've not come to judge. And if we're speaking on his behalf, may we those... The prophetic model of somebody judging something. Church, you've sinned. Or, no, Jim at the back. God says you've done this, that's another, and you're... That's not biblical prophecy. Biblical prophecy will encourage and comfort and strengthen. And we're going to do a little bit in a minute, so get ready. So the stuff we're going to bring is going to be positive. It's going to lift people. We're not going to be ticking off people or poking something at them. Especially, now's my moment to tell her. Actually, sadly, that sometimes happens. People, under the guise of speaking for God, they just like to deliver their payload in and just say, actually, God says you're this or that, the other. Actually, that's not encouragement, comfort, and strengthen. And I was just going to say something. Where did I get to before? Then I went off. What was I right? There was something I was going to say. Do you have those moments? Yeah. I like to think now I'm in my 20s that those... Gosh. Okay, so prophecy brings life. Okay, I remember what I was going to say. Okay, so Jesus walking around, he meets Zacchaeus. Okay, Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He's ripping off God's people. He's breaking God's law, which says about not taking usury from in charging interest. You would think when Jesus, who only speaks from God... You think when Jesus, the Son of God, who only speaks from God, who honours God and the truth and righteousness, when he meets a dirty, rotten tax collector, he's going to let him have it, isn't he? He's going to say, you've done this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. He would be well... If anybody on the planet could say to Zacchaeus, the sinner, it would be Jesus, wouldn't it? But what does Jesus do when he gets under the tree where Zacchaeus is? First of all, he says... Zacchaeus, I think, wow, Jesus, you know my name. Jesus knows your name. And in that instant, a love transaction happens. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house. What is he doing? He's starting to engage in some of this. He could have taken the spiritual machine gun. Bang, 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 bang. Zacchaeus, have it. But actually he brings, out of a relationship, it begins to open Zacchaeus' heart and lifts his head. The result is, of grace, that Zacchaeus says, actually, if I've taken anything from any of you, you can have bucket loads of it back. Actually, there's a change in his heart, not because he was rebuked, but because he was loved. It's just amazing. So Zacchaeus, prophecy releases hope and encouragement, brings freedom. It's going to make us feel, but it's going to take us to a spacious place with God. He always takes us to Not a tightrope of, will I get it right? Will I get it wrong? Will I fall? Actually, God said, I want to take you to a spacious, fruitful place. You know, you and I, as sons and daughters of the King, are invited to a spacious place. So when we prophesy, we're bringing people, even non-Christians, we're taking them into a place of space. Now, they may well have sin issues to deal with, but the way we deal with them isn't by letting them have it, but is by inviting them into the spacious space before God. And prophecy does that. It calls us forwards. It lifts us up. It lifts us up. So that's why I think Paul says, eagerly desire. Actually, the word he uses is lust after. And so the Bible says it's good to lust after spiritual gifts. Why? Because prophecy builds the church. He says, especially be eager for gifts that build the church. Wouldn't it be, how awesome would it be that there was such a fermenting of encouragement going on here or in your church that people, because when encouragement's about, we all feel bigger, we lift up. Imagine people coming in like this, but going out, God's among you. Oh, wait, somebody's actually said that. That people come and say, God's among you. Because we could think, oh, we mustn't have those things on a Sunday. Actually, the Holy Spirit is the most missional person on the planet. And when the gifts of the Spirit are around, people will say, God's among you. So, let's eagerly desire. Just to backtrack one moment. You know when the Spirit is poured out in Acts 2? Do you want to just turn to Acts 2 and verse 17? So the Holy Spirit is poured out, Pentecost, amazing, rushing wind, flickering fire, they stumble out in the street. Now Peter, for some reason, he's now stood at the front, because the crowd think the guys are drunk. Peter says, no, these aren't drunk. And he's like, I don't know, had he been reading the Old Testament? Had he been reading Joel? But straight away, Peter and the Holy Spirit in Peter connects what's happening to Joel, chapter 2. And Peter says, this is what God said would happen in the last days. So that's the time between Jesus ascending and Jesus returning. We're in those 2,000 years of them so far. The last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. You think, wow. And he says, this is the sign. Your sons and daughters. You think, wow, what's he going to say? Your son, there's going to be like healings. There's going to be salvation. There's all those. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. So we're in this age where the Spirit's poured out and in God, in Joel, and in Peter, there's a close connection between prophecy and the Spirit being poured out. Wow. Lord, I want the Spirit poured out. Let's have prophecy. Your young men, people my age, will see visions. Your old men. He's typing, hasn't noticed. Marshall. We'll see, we'll dream dreams. Blessings. That's great, that's good. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and men will prophesy. They, who? Who's the they? Men and women. Okay, so let's nail, if any lady, if you've been told that you can't prophesy, I want to remove that tape from your mouth. Now, it's really important that you honour church leaders, and I know there's different churches here, and I come from a different one. It's really important that you honour the way it's done. So different churches work different ways, but it's really important that we're true to what the Bible says, that you may all prophesy, as it says elsewhere, men and women. Okay, so let's not think, well, only men can prophesy. No, ladies, be very free. I hope I'm not in trouble with Simon for saying that. But Jesus said it first. Okay. So I'd like you just to just sit quietly where you are and shut your eyes for a minute. I'm not going to ask you, you're not going to have to come up or anything, but I just want us to listen and tune in. I want you just to picture, where is it, where do you normally go to meet with Jesus? So maybe you have a chair. I don't know, maybe it's your bed, maybe it's you kneel somewhere, maybe you stand, maybe it's a place in the car, a field, a view. Just walk in your mind to where it is that you encounter Jesus. Just picture yourself there, you've sat in the chair, you're by the bed, wherever it is. And I just want you to now see Jesus walk into the scene before you. He's coming towards you. He's smiling. His face is beaming. His arms are towards you. And as he comes before you, I'd like just to just ask him, Jesus, what are you saying about me? What do you think of me? And just take a moment to listen. What do you think of me, Jesus? What are you saying, Jesus? It's precious. What we're doing is tuning into God, catching his heart for us. So why don't you just take a moment, just the person near you, just turn to one another and just, okay, what was that like? Was that easy or difficult? And what was it you felt Jesus saying about you? We asked him, Jesus, what do you think about me? What was he saying? So just turn to the person near you, and it's not a right or wrong answer. Don't feel, oh. How's that? Someone tell. Was that good? Was that a positive experience? Quite. Who said that? Okay. Because he said something. Oh. Would you be happy to?
I found it quite hard at first to imagine it, but then it came to me only to say,
Brilliant. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's great. And all we did, in an old bus shelter, whatever it used to be, is just listen quiet, and he came and spoke to you. Isn't that precious? He loved it. That's someone else? Very good. Wow. He wants adventure. Adventure. For you're a lady. It's like you're a lady with a call for adventure. And yeah, there's a call of adventure on you. I feel like actually like God wants to take you. It's like God wants to. I feel like God wants to turn the page. And says, actually, you're. So I'm externally processing. Let me get my head straight. What I'm thinking. I'm saying like, you know, often we can live our life on a, oh, you know, every day is like the next one, but actually, with God, walking with God is an invitation to adventure, and I feel like God wants to change your thinking, and maybe others as well. We can think, okay, following God, it's. And yes, there is an ordinary, you know, we have to get the kids for school and, you know, all the rest. But actually, I feel like there's an adventure call on you that's, I'm reluctant to say it's going to take you another place because it doesn't feel, but it feels like turn a new page. I feel like God wants to switch things around for you so suddenly you see opportunity rather than restriction. And so God's like a God of invitation and taking you to. It's like he gives you an invitation. And I think, will you, he says, will you take that? It's like a ticket. Ticket to a scary ride at Orton Downs or something. He says, do you want that? I'll think a bit more because I just felt God, as you said that, just stirred something. So isn't it great as we listen to God? Why is it important to do that? And I would encourage you, don't just do that now, but get into practice of listening to God and making time for him. Because now, if you're now going to, imagine you're now going to bring a prophecy, something that you felt God saying for someone else, because he's affirmed you, you can now affirm others. It's really hard to bring a encouragement and comfort and strengthening word when I just feel really stressed. And actually, I've met Jesus. And it's okay. And the pressure's on him. Oh, okay, so now I can. Okay, Jesus, you're good enough. It's really important that we speak out of being in the right place with God. Hurting people end up hurting people. And if we're carrying around angst-ridden people, we're going to communicate angst. And you can read that time and time again with people around Jesus. Even the disciples, they say, aren't you at this time? Come on, Jesus. And Jesus just dials it back. The Son of God, he's ready to do all things. He says, actually, look, let me just see this child. Hey, come here, little Billy. Actually, I want you guys to be like little Billy. He's the greatest. You think, Jesus, you're so wonderful. And he sets us free and brings life. So encourage, comfort and strength. I hope you've just now been encouraged, comforted and strengthened. That does allow God to challenge. Okay, challenge. You think, oh, that doesn't feel very... Actually... When God's loving grace, because he's always calling more. Zacchaeus, come down, I'm coming to your house. Okay? That was opened up his heart. That was a sense of encouragement. But I'm sure Zacchaeus is thinking, oh, I'm not ready for this challenge. The Son of God, I just wanted to peep from a tree. So Jesus does challenge and he opens our hearts, often through prophecy, because he wants to deliver a message. So tuning into God's voice, it's something I really encourage you to do. Find your way of tuning into his voice. It will be different from other people. And often in our insecurity, we can think, it's not like them. Oh, my way's not very good then. What a lie. God has made you to be you. Have you ever thought that? He's made you to be. It wasn't like a mistake. He made you to be you. And he made you with your own receptivity. If you've ever done any marriage training or relationship training, there's a thing called love languages. Have some of you heard of love languages? There's five love languages. We hear, like from a spouse, we hear, I love you, different ways. And the important thing is you find the right way for the person that you're telling. Because if you're right, you could buy lots of gifts for the person saying, I love you. But if their love language is not gifts, they think, why doesn't he ever tell me he loves me? So, well, I'm buying flowers every week because the love languages are different. If your love language is his time, so some of us, husbands or wives, you would love to have time. Your kids would be the same. Okay, they want time. They don't need gifts, so they don't need words. They want time. If we're delivering it in a different way, they can't hear. That's because God has made you and I different. And when he speaks to you, he knows your love language. He knows how your love language works. And so it might be that you need to see a horizon. So I'm really helped in meeting with God sometimes by seeing a horizon. You've got lots in Norfolk. Beautiful. God's county, I guess. So we can tune in. So Habakkuk, I won't ask you to turn to it because it takes half an hour. It's one of those little books you think, I'm sure it was here last time I looked. Habakkuk, he's asking God lots of questions, and he's really chatting. See, I'm looking for it as well now. He needs some answers, and this is what he says. I will stand at my watch. I'll stand on the watch. Okay, I'm going to go up on the wall and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say. Okay, God, I'm just getting into this chair because I want to hear from you. So what we're doing, we're tuning in to God's voice. Okay? That's what Habakkuk does. I will look to see what he will say to me. There's an expectation. I will look to see what he will say. Not, well, I'll wait. If God wants to speak, I'm here. You know, I'm open. You know, if Corinne said, okay, do you want a kiss? I said, well, I'm open. She probably said, well, forget it then. You know, should we have a romantic? Well, I'm open. Okay, God wants to speak. Well, I'm open. Actually, no, eagerly desire. God, would you speak to me through me? So Habakkuk says, I will look to see. I'm hungry. What are you going to say? I'm going to station myself. I'm going to stay here until you speak. What answer am I to give to this complaint? There's something of hunger. So we can just tune in. We focus on Jesus. So I'd like us to do that. So just focus. If you're an eyes open person, that's fine. I have to shut them because I'm so easily distracted. And think, oh Lord, look at that over there. And okay, so shutting our eyes doesn't help God to hear us, but it does help us just tune out some things. So just focus on Jesus. So maybe you just begin to tell him how wonderful he is. You look at him, look at his hands as we heard just now. Look at his face. We just tune in. Just we stop, we slow ourselves down. That's what we've been doing. Now we focus on him. And we're just going to ask Jesus, would you speak to me? scrap paper out there. Thanks. I'm just going to give you some paper in a minute. I'd like you just to write down on it something. I'd like you to be asking God, and I'll tell you who you're going to give this piece of paper to. I'd like you to ask God, God, would you speak to me? What do you want to say to them? And I'll give you some paper. Peter's just getting some paper in a minute. But if you've got some, you can start to write it down. Brown. Okay. Do you want to sort of take a piece? Thanks, Brown. So we've got some pens here on the table. So just, we need to sit quietly. Jesus, what do you want to say? I'll tell you who it's for. If you want some paper, there's lots more here. So imagine Jesus, he comes up to you. And you say, okay, Lord, what do you want to say? I know I haven't told you who it's for, but you can still hear. Okay, Jesus, what do you want to say to this person? Remember, it's going to be encouraging, comfort, strength. It's going to lift up the head. It's going to draw toward Jesus. We're in a workshop environment, if you like. It's fine to have a go. No one's going to be vetting, if you like, provided we're sticking to encouragement and comfort and strength. Okay. Appreciate some of us find it easier, others of us think, oh. Finding it tough, just spend some time meditating on Jesus. Jesus, I just want to thank you for your love, your grace, your beauty. Okay? You got something? Okay, I'm going to tell you who to give it to. If you can just stand up. Some of your hands are starting to sweat. You think, oh no, who's this going to be for? Okay. Right, I'd like you to give this prophecy to the person that's sitting on your seat. I'd like you now to read it to yourself. Just read it to yourself. I've done this so many times. And it's always a bit of fun, but so many times people come up and say, there was something specific, something so helpful. What we're doing, we're strengthening ourselves, we're hearing from God. And it says of David, King David, he strengthened himself in the Lord. And part of that is, he would have said, sure, the Lord's with me. He's my shepherd. He will guide me. His rod and staff. Just what you're doing. So just read it to yourself. You think, well, there's nothing like, you know, there's no major world revelation in it. No, Prophecy encourages, comforts, and strengthens. It's probably not going to have some major dynamic revelation of 5 years and this. And that can come. May we get onto that. Might talk about that a bit tomorrow morning. But okay, well, has that have you encouraged yourself? Okay, some of you you're not sure about that. Yeah. So what would? Sorry, what?
I've sort of challenged myself. I've got a spoken about something.
Yeah.
My wife and I should be doing together.
Yeah.
And because I'm rushing about and impatient or whatever. No, I'm not impatient. I'm just all I
die. Yeah. So here's an opportunity this evening. Brilliant. Take a seat. Okay. You knew already. Sometimes we're so busy doing. So different love languages. God talks different ways. So some of us will be. So you'll learn in different ways. So as a teacher, people learn different ways. Some people learn by hearing. Okay, so they're auditory learners. So they can hear something and learn it that way. Okay, other people need to learn by doing. Okay, so we've got three kids. Our two lads love to touch, do, climb, explore. That's how they learnt. Okay, you give them a book, after a while they just get bored and want to explode because they want to learn by exploration. So some people are like that. Others are very visual. So I'm a visual learner. If I see, I can learn. And some of you will be visual learners. So you will hear God often, maybe with your eyes open, or visual. Now, God loves talking in different ways. So there's a guy in the Bible called Amos. So he's another one of those. You think, where's Amos? So God speaks to Amos and lots of different things. God says to him, Amos, what do you see? So let me read it so I make sure I get it right. So this is what the Sovereign Lord showed me. A basket of fruit. Ripe fruit. You think, well, God, I'm praying to you and all I can see is like a bowl of bananas, apples and what's all that about? You think, God, I'm waiting for some angels and like a throne of glory. All I can see is like some fruit. Ripe fruit. What do you see, Amos? God says. A basket of ripe fruit, answered. Duh. Then the Lord said to me, the time is ripe for my people. He wanted to talk to me, not about the fruit, but about the time is ripe. You think he'd learn, and a bit later, where was it? The God showed me, in chapter 7, Amos, he showed me, he was standing by a wall with a plumb line. What? Jesus, I want to see you like with angels, a white horse and a sword and battle. And there you are, a bit of string and a lead on the bottom. You think, what's all that? With a plumb line in his hand, the Lord said, what do you see? A plumb line. I said, the Lord said, I'm setting a plumb line among the people of Israel. I'll spare them no longer. Okay, so it happens to Jeremiah. And God says to Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah says, I see like an almond tree. And there's a play on words. It happens in the New Testament too. So there's Peter, Cornelius, that story in Acts 10. Peter goes into a trance on the roof and he sees a big sail let down, doesn't he? And inside the sail are lots of things that he can eat. And God says he can eat. And he says, no, I can't. It's a big sail. He's in Joppa. What's Joppa? Joppa's a port. So there's stuff that Peter can see, big sails of these ships in the port. Now he's having a vision. God's able to speak to us through what we see. He's able to speak to us through what we see. And for me as a visual learner, I think, now I see. So on this table, we have a variety of objects, ordinary, everyday objects, bits and bobs, some out of my bag, some out of Peter's pockets or something. So what I'd like you to do, as you can come around in a second, just have a look at them. you can pick them up if you want to. And I'd like you to, okay, Jesus, will you speak to me through one of these? Okay? And so you come up, and maybe none of them stand up. Maybe your eyes, though, are drawn to this. Okay, Jesus, just my eyes are drawn to this brown bowl. What do you want to tell me through this? And just take a moment and ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you want to tell me through this brown bowl? So we're doing what was in the Bible. We're asking, God, would you speak? And then just write it down, okay? So you can come out and have it. It's helpful to have a look. Just come and have a look at the table. Can you can all see? So you might need to get out and come and have a look. Just ask God, would you highlight something? Or maybe actually on your way to the table, it's not this, but you've spotted something else elsewhere in the room. That's fine. Just sometimes our eyes get caught and... Just pick one. Okay? If you're a visual learner, this will be easier than the other one. If you're not visual, this will be like, oh, this is harder. So depending on different ways that you see and learn. So maybe a verse comes to mind. I don't know. Maybe a parable comes to mind. So just get when you get back then, just jot a few things down. If none of them stand out, just pick one. Just think, oh, we can spend lots of time thinking which one. Just pick one. Think, okay, dear, I choose the tissues, Lord. What do you want to say? We've all gone very quiet. Okay, why don't you just tell? Let's just do a bit of writing some notes. Just talk to the person next to you and say, okay, this is what I thought. So, just chat to each other. What was it? What was the gist of what you felt God speaking to? So, did anybody who did that stand out to anybody? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was thinking that we can feel crushed, people can feel crushed by life and circumstances and broken and in pieces, but God works through those things and he can take broken people and sprinkle this lovely flavor out wherever he wants it. And it will have a wonderful influence and impact on wherever he puts it.
Very good.
In the wider society.
Brilliant. So does that strengthen you at the minute? Yeah, okay, God, I feel a bit under it, but thank God you're spreading the aroma of Christ. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, how about... Okay, oh, a couple of you. So what was it that came? Yeah. Yes. Is that how you feel? Okay. Are you part? Okay. That you've done that yourself or other people? Okay. Was there a reason? And who else was? Okay. So. He's able to join together or whatever. Brilliant. Okay, this other chap behind you. What was? Come here. Come here, sir. Are you part of this church or one of the others? Is that right? Come on. I just, as soon as I saw, because my white coin got all these bits, I saw this at the back and I felt God say, there's someone here whose mouth's been taped up. And so I want, so I've been waiting, that's why I picked it. So I'm just waiting for, okay, God. Okay, so what's your name?
Pip.
Pip. I might vaguely remember you from last year. I don't know if we prayed or something, yeah. But, so what would Pip's main gift be? Or what would he say is main? I don't know. What's your gift? Yeah. You've got, sorry. Zip it, Adrian. Yeah. Go on. Okay.
You're an encourager too.
Good. It's strengthening. Good. Why does he need to speak out more? It brings life and it blesses. Very good. Anyone else you want to? Yeah. Because I
hear God.
Wow.
Yeah, wisdom and encouragement. Most people have been saying.
Yeah. Very good.
Can I just add to that? I've just sat here when Adrian said about listening to God, and I just saw a blue raincoat, you know, the ones that you pack inside themselves. Mm-hmm. And I just felt God say, when it's raining, there's not much point having a raincoat still packed inside. It's meant to be used for that equipment, for that is the right equipment for when it's raining. And I just have a sense, now other people have said the bits, I just have a sense that God says to you, he's giving you all the right equipment for all the different things that these people have drawn out and said are in you. And I just think God said it's in you. He's giving you all the right equipment. You just need to, when you know which one they are, use what he's giving you. Get it out at the right time and use it.
Mm. Okay, so that's good. Don't go. No, don't go. Great. Anyone else? That's great, Coyne. Yes.
Some people, wherever they are,
yes.
That's where they are.
Very good.
When I see that scale within the church situation, Pip is one of the church fathers.
Very good. Brilliant. So I don't know if you realise, so all different ones are, you are prophesying. Mm. You're prophesying to him. They're not just random niceties, and they're good. But actually, they're coming from God. They're coming from a stirring. And I was thinking, so how often do you prophesy?
Not much.
Okay, is there a reason for that? Sorry, this is like really public, Pip. You must be hating me.
I suppose I
think I'm fairly.
Is that because you can't?
People not very good at hearing what God's saying.
Okay. So I want to change that. I want you to break agreement with that lie. So that lie, basically, you know, is, I won't put it because that lie. I've really hurt. But when we believe a lie, it sticks to us, and it, okay, it's not true, but we believe it is, so it becomes true. So the lie is you can't hear God very much, okay? So like hearing God is a skill you have. No, hearing God is because you're a child. Your children, grandchildren, whatever, hear, not because they earn it, because actually they hear. It's because of relationship, isn't it? And access to you is because of relationship, not because they've earned. And so that's a lie that can like get over your mouth. Okay, I need to earn the right to speak, or I need to earn to hear God's voice. And it becomes like a lie. So I want to pray, because I think I was waiting for that person, and I think you've got a prophetic gift that needs to come out, and that might start. Father, I pray that you would, Lord, bless Pip. Lord, thank you for the encouragement that comes, Lord, from you and through others to him. Father, we pray your blessing. Lord, I speak blessing over you, Pip. Speak blessing over your heart. I say you are the Lord's. You're a son. You have access before God to come in and out. He sees what you're doing, and he comes to walk with you. He says, I'm your father. You don't earn your place before him, but he has given you. He's awarded you sonship. And as a son, you can hear God. And I just speak right now. We break agreement with the lie that says Pip can't speak. Or can't speak much. Not very good, whatever. Lord, we break agreement with that lie. And we, Lord, in the Spirit, we tear off that tape so that your voice, your lips will be free. I just want to break off anything that people have said. Even well-meaning people have maybe steered you a different direction. Oh, you can't do that very well. Actually, that's a lie. As a father, you are able to speak. Whether you have a title, whether you have a position, a father, it's just something out of relationship. And so whether you have position or title, you can speak as a father to this church. People are saying, we recognize that in you. Father, I pray from this moment, Lord, a release on Pip. Lord, of hearing you. Lord, I pray for like his ears. Lord, I pray you'd unblock his ears. Father, I pray you'd fill his mind. Lord, I pray for eyes to see you and what you're doing. Father, I pray that you will bless it as a feeler. Lord, he will be able to feel, Lord God. He will feel what you are feeling. Jesus, just want to commission him, Lord. Want to release him to prophesy and encourage and nurture and be alongside. It's much more than being at the front and a 2-minute prophecy every now and then. It's a life that communicates God's words. And Father, I pray that just see like it's for you. It's not the summer holidays. I just see like a end of a school term. We think, hooray, school's out. Summer holiday, actually, it's for you. I see like this is a time of stepping up and stepping into more. it's like God says, okay, if you want it, come and take some. If you want it, come and get it. I'll be with you. And it's like God wants to open, I don't know, it's like responsibility, but open opportunity for you. It's open. Just like fresh steps. And I guess chatting with people and those that love you around in the church, what does that mean? What does that look like? But I just see like there's an opening, but it will be demanding, and there'll be a cost. And God says, like, okay, I'll be with you. I'm calling you into it. You can have the holiday, or you can have this fruitfulness. But that fruitfulness needs some work. I think that's God working in you and through you, and that's preparing and praying and all sorts of different things. But Father, just pray a blessing on Pip and his family. God, your grace. Father, I pray you would fulfill to him his dreams. Like, God, you've got some dreams that God says, I want to give you. I say there were like three, I just see, like three books on the shelf. And some of those dreams are for your family. There's one, I see one book full of pictures of a girl. I don't know, is it daughter or granddaughter? I don't know. But just of God's, your prayers for this girl. God says, that's one of your dreams, and I'm answering them. I'm answering it. I see this book full of photographs. God said, I'm answering them, Pip. I'm answering them. It's a light blue book. I don't know if that's just my mind or if that means anything. It's just like a sky blue book, like a Winnie the Pooh sky blue book. But, but also I just was thinking about prophets. People always say nations. But I just see like on this near the books, there's like a globe, and just I don't know where that means you going. Lord, what does that mean? I just see a globe. Is that just a heart in you for people of other nationalities? Jesus, just you have a heart that goes around the world. I don't know. You got any relatives around the world? I don't know. Jesus, okay. Father, we pray your blessing on Pip. Your blessing, your rich blessing. Thank you for being a dear guinea pig. Bless you. Great. Okay, so we've been listening, and just Jesus did the same thing. So he picks out a mustard seed, doesn't he? And says, okay, the kingdom of heaven is like, okay, guys, what are you doing? And you know, where are they? They're in Israel. Okay, there's seeds and plants. It's like a grain of wheat. Or as a farmer goes out to... Jesus is doing the same thing. He's prophesying God's heart out of things that they would have seen. And, okay, it would be different things for us here in Alsham, other things, but he speaks the same. So I wanted to just give another way. So some of us are feelers. So I'm a feeler, okay? So I find it's easier to pray and prophesy for people, to live, poor old Pip, if I've got my hand on them. I don't know why that works, but I just feel and begin to identify in an easier way. So some of you will be feelers. So you're not so much seers, or you're not so much some of the other things you've done, but you think, yeah, actually, I feel things. So some of you? I think sometimes I feel a bit... Because I'm a bloke that feels, and normally, you know, typically they say, well, often women can be more feelers, but I'm a touchy-feely bloke, and so I can watch the films, and, oh, you know, so I'm just like, oh, I've got a fly in my eye. But so feelers. So what I'd like to do, just find a different partner this time. So just, you might need to just move around a bit. Find a different partner, and just stand together or sit together. So you might need to move. Okay? And what I want to do is just, when you've found them, ideally not your husband or wife, okay? What I want you to do is just... Just rest. Just put your arm on each other's shoulder. Is there anyone on there? We've got one on. Is there someone else without a partner? We can make a three. It doesn't matter. Somebody could. Do you just want to join there? Okay. So what I want you to do now, we're going to ask Jesus. Okay, we're in a workshop situation. Jesus, what do you feel Actually, no, let's just change that. Jesus, will you show me what the other person is feeling? Okay, some of you will find that very easy. Some of you think, I'm lost. Okay, if you're not a feeler, this will be quite hard. And that's okay. So, Jesus, will you show me what the other person is feeling? How will that happen is you will begin to feel the same. Jesus, will you help me to identify with this person? So I don't want you to use your head and you think, well, I know that this has happened to them this week or whatever. So just allow the feeling. Holy Spirit, will you release feeling? Okay, so you begin to think, actually, I just sense what's going on in this other person, this feeling sense. So don't say anything for the minute. So it may or may not help them if you say, actually, I can feel that you're really tense or stressed. I can feel that you're angry. Okay? So if it was a negative emotion that you're feeling, the way that we can be prophetic is that we can release and speak into the opposite. Okay, so rather than addressing their anger, you can say, actually, I think Jesus wants to release his peace. Again, if they're very upset, you can say, I just believe Jesus wants to bring his peace, his kindness. So if it's a negative thing, we don't need to be reinforcing that. Actually, we can release the opposite. So in a storm, Jesus brings peace. So he speaks peace. So we can say peace to the emotions. Okay, so if it was a negative feeling, you can release, if you like, the kingdom, God's kingdom, the flip side. If it was a positive thing, well, then you release some more. Actually, I'm just sensing you are already, you're carrying God's peace. I just pray, Father, release more of your peace. So begin now to just take it in turns. Speak over them. Speak over what it is. I just see God. So it's always going to be encouraging, strengthening, comforting. So I'm not going to speak over your anger. I'm going to speak peace. Yeah, you understand? So speak over them, life. I just release peace to you. I release more peace to you, or joy. I release to you kindness of God. I release to you the faithfulness. They both had a chance to. To speak or pray over each other. Was that encouraged? Who's being just encouraged in that one? Okay. So some of you, if you're not a feeler, it's like, you're like really stuck, okay? But you'll have other ways that you hear God. So the point of trying these different ones isn't, you understand, is just to show you there's different ways of hearing God. And just to practice a couple of those. I think the key thing, and the bit I changed it slightly at the end there, is we don't just want to take the temperature of the person or the church or the situation. So we can say, this is how it is. I think, well, yeah, we knew that anyway. But actually, we want to speak God's life. We want to speak God's life over. So if God reveals to you, actually, there's some brokenness, we don't need to speak into that in the sense of affirming it. We want to speak healing, because Jesus says, my kingdom's come. I'm going to bring restoration of sight to the blind and freedom for the captive. Okay, so we speak the freedom. We speak the life. So actually, instead of mourning, there's going to be joy and strength. So we want to speak out of, we speak out of what God shows, but speak his kingdom. So in a church meeting, you might think, this feels really heavy. So you come to the front and says, God says it's really heavy. Or Simon knew that or whatever. Actually, God says, I'm here and I've come to bring joy. So prophesy, if you like, the one that addresses the issue but lifts the head. Do you see what I mean? That encourages. So whether that's, we've done just now some individual prophetic stuff because that's the best way we can just step out. But we don't just stop there. And actually, we want to, like Paul says, we want to see the body strengthened and enlarged. Just a couple of things as we come into sort of close. I made a joke right at the start about, we say, thus says the Lord. And thankfully, I didn't hear any of you say that. I think if we use those words in the olden days when they used to say that, it was like a sign that there's a prophecy about to come following. But when they said, thus said the Lord, no, we're praying and prophesying with Pip there. We didn't need to say thus, because it was Adrian speaking. If I say, this is what God says, and Pip thinks, yeah, I'm not really sure about that. It's like, he's like really stuck, because if God says it, it must be right then. And sometimes, sadly, if we put so much emphasis, this is what God says, it's like it leaves no room for what Corinthians 14 says, you weigh. So weighing is, okay, I want to go away and think about that. I need to think, God, was that you? Does it agree with what's in the book? Does it bring life and lift? Actually, it doesn't really. Oh, God, you must be like really angry with me then. Because like that made me feel smaller and less. And so we want to be, I would say it's not good to use the word thus as Lord, because it doesn't give anywhere to go if I think, no, it's not the Lord. So we might use things like, I think God's saying, or I have a sense that God's saying, or I've got an impression that. We don't go the other way and say, well, I've got, it's probably not, in actual fact, it's not God, and it's just me. Oops. If we don't want to rubbish it away, but let's do it open-handed. So I have a sense God's saying this, and we can be open-handed. And Pip or anyone can say, actually, I have a sense he's not. So, okay, so, and that's fine. So anything that anyone has said this evening, if it doesn't fit, you have permission to tear it up and pop it in the bin. If God wants to get the message through and you haven't heard, he's well able to send a donkey to talk to you. And he's done that. He's well able to think, okay, Adrian, so I've had time, you would think somebody like, okay, I'll be expert hearing God. God sometimes has to, Adrian, and blah, blah, I just haven't listened. Adrian, okay. So, and then after the fifth time, oh, maybe it's God. So be free. We hold it lightly. Because I have had times where I've brought stuff to people quite specifically. I thought, I know it's right. And they said, no, not at all. A blanket. And actually talking with other church leaders has actually addressed a key issue. But people don't want to hear. Ultimately, it's Holy Spirit's job. Okay, he's working with people. It's not your job to wrestle them to the ground and get the word in. Okay, that's what the Holy Spirit, he loves them and will work on them. So if they reject what you're saying and then we feel they've rejected me, you have to live with that because it's God's work. They're his sheep, not yours. And also we need to work with, so just finishing this sense of timing in a meeting. We need to, so sometimes as prophetic people, and especially if you're a feeler, it's like God's saying it, and it's now, and it must be, and it's definitely now. And then whoever's hosting the meeting says, actually, we're going to finish. And they think, no, you're stopping God, we're quenching the Spirit. Actually, and as people in my church where I'm hosting the meeting sometimes think, okay, because we've got a guest coming, we've got this that we need to do, and we've got a special offering for that, and we've got a notice about that. If we do it now, actually, it's just going to, because we haven't got time to unpack it. So there is such a thing as timing, because if it is God and maybe as hosts we're listening or it's in a group meeting, you think, okay, yeah, this is God. We want to do something with it. And if we just say it and then chuck it, it's like, what a waste. We didn't get to pray or do anything. So there's an important thing, okay, does it have to be today? I think most times in my leadership experience, prophetic stuff, nearly all of it, none of it hardly, is date specific. So if it was shared the next week, most of it, or the week after, actually, it would still be just as true. And so I think we have to trust God in that. And even if it was right, and even if we didn't get it done, sometimes in our hosting a meeting, I'd say, actually, no, we'll leave it. I may get it wrong. Okay, sometimes people that are hosting, actually, we might say, not at the minute, and actually it's a mistake. But at the end of the day, all we can do be is ourselves and think, okay, we've got this to fit in, I'm not sure about it, let's just leave it. If it's God, he's well able to get it in another way. And actually we need to love each other, because we're all learning to hear God and we're all exploring. And sometimes we do get it wrong. You get it wrong, we get it wrong in leading. So timing is one thing you can do. Is come and say, I'm sensing God saying this. I encourage an church. Come and tell me. You might think, oh, it's probably just me. But you might be the third person that morning who's come and said the same. And think, this is God, Adrian. Wake up. So actually, work with the people here. But there is a sense of honour. We always honour what's going on, because the bigger picture is more important. The bigger picture, all that's going on is key. For us, we've got a prophetic word. It's the most important thing. You have that, I have that. This is like, I've got to share it. I'm just going to burst. It's just so right. You know, don't stop me. But actually, I want to honour, okay, Jesus. Jesus, it's you. So it says this in 1 Corinthians 14. So I found Habakkuk there. I was all excited, and now it's... Okay, so he says here, the spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. Okay, sometimes as prophesiers, we can get so emotional, and it's right we do sometimes. Jesus did. He got emotionally engaged with, so he wept when he saw some people, moved out of compassion. He did such and such. So it's okay to that, but ultimately, we're in control. So none of us can say, I can't help it. Oh, yes, you can. Okay? You can just, Jesus, I just leave this with you. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. So, okay, Adrian, you're just going to have to live with it. It wasn't the day. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't beat any of the elders up about it. But just, it wasn't the day. God's a God of, not of disorder, but of peace. And so it's really important. One of the things I would encourage you to do as you learn is to do it in an honouring way. And you will make mistakes, but hey, that's how a baby learns to walk. They fall over and we don't say, well, that's rubbish. You say, come on, get up. And they take two steps and they fall over. That's what happens as we prophesy and we learn. But we can say, hey, that was great. We celebrate the good. If we wait to get the whole thing right, guess what? We'll never do it. So we step out and we celebrate. So in our church, we say, let's celebrate the small apples. Think, what about, yeah, we want the big apples, but the only way we get the big apples is have the small apples. And say, wow, look at that. It's like a pip. Say, yeah, it's grown. Let's celebrate. Because the flip side is we only celebrate when it's mature, but we won't ever grow. The flip side of that is we only celebrate the big stuff. And the little important encouragement word that you brought that says, God says, I'm with you. But then we wouldn't have Haggai in the Old Testament. So it's so, let's be gracious. Let's trust God with timing. But let's learn and let's have a lot of fun. So I hope that's helped. I appreciate we've covered quite a lot of different activities. This is a workshop, and it's primarily an ongoing walk with Jesus. Okay? Because one day prophecies will cease. Do you know that? One day there will be no more prophecy, but there will always be Jesus, and there will always be loving him and walking with him and exploring a restored cosmos and be amazing. But there won't be any prophecy. So let's see that in the context, hey, let's know Jesus. Let's sink our teeth. wrong expressions, late at night. Let's devote ourselves to Jesus. That's where I want to finish. I think, Corinne, you just wanted to bring an encouragement. But let's love Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for feeding us, Lord. I pray for a release of prophecy across the church that strengthens, encourages and comforts, Lord, that enlarges the church for the next phase of the journey. Father, I pray for a release of your prophetic word in our lives, in business, Lord, in relationships, in our streets, Lord, with people we meet. Lord, I pray for a release of prophecy, God, around us. Fine.
Okay. Just as we were spending a bit of time just at Bruce and Viv's, I was looking out of the window and I just saw the trees. And I just had a sense that God would say that now's the season of when the trees drop their fruit, drop their seeds, and they go into the ground. And we know that in the spring, new life, new trees, new bushes appear. And everything that's needed for a new tree and a bush is in that tiny little seed. And I just felt God say that whoever comes tonight, just to encourage you, that all that you need, he has already placed inside you. For hearing his voice, hearing him, everything you need is inside you. And actually, at the right time, he will help you get out those little bits that are needed so that you will grow. And you will grow, just as a tree grows from a tiny seed, doesn't think about it, just drops to the ground. Come the spring, it all comes up. And all that you need for hearing his voice is in you, and at the right time, it will pop up and come out.
That's good. So I'd like to pray. We're going to finish there. Appreciate some of you got sitters or whatever. Is there someone here? Have you got a problem with your adenoids? So that's somewhere. Is that in here? I don't know. Adenoids, nose. Yeah? Okay. I heard the word adenoids. Okay, that's cool. So we pray for you. Anyone else? Adenoids? Or where else is it? A tight chest. So I don't know whether that's in, whether it's breathing, like lungs related or heart related or muscle, but a tight chest. Okay. Okay, that's fine. And then I was right knee. Okay, right there. Okay, so we'd love to pray. I'm not going to be able to get to pray for all of those, but hey, we're the body of Christ. Yeah, and so it'd be great. Just if you were one of those people, just want to stand up. So, adenoids, knee, chest. What was the other one? Okay, brilliant. So if you're near one of the, why don't you just pop your hands on the shoulder? Yeah? Okay. And what we're going to do, we're going to speak. So just check what is it you're going to speak to. So rather than pray, so we're going to speak. So we're going to say, okay, I command the pain to go, if that's what it is. Or I command the nose to be clear. I command muscles to be lit. Whatever it is. So just likely to ask and find out. And then I want you to speak to it. So Jesus rebuked sickness. This is something I've been reading recently. He rebuked. It says, sickness, go. Well, that wasn't a very long prayer. But hey, it did the stuff. So we want to be like Jesus. So just find out, and then we're going to speak to the sickness. If you need to slip off, I understand entirely that's fine. If you'd like Corinne to pray for you for a release of prophecy, then just come over this side and just so you can. We just want to lay hands. If you want a release in prophecy, so just come over this way and we'll do that. Great. So if you just start, just. Yes, Jesus. Lord, release your healing presence. Loose your healing presence. Release your healing presence. Release your healing presence, huh? We loose your healing presence, Jesus. Jesus.